This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The End of the Road.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. By the end of the day, there could be a vote to rescue the beleaguered auto industry. $15 billion in short-term loans with strings attached. Oh, the strings. A restructuring deadline for one. Come the end of March, automakers would have to have a plan for the future, something to help the industry survive and even thrive in the fallout from the financial crisis. Then there's the car czar, someone who would oversee the plan. We're joined by Marketplace's Dan Gretsch. Dan, where are we in negotiations and what's next?
Well, first, the plan has to get past Congress, Steve, and that's not going to be an easy task. The House could pass the plan as early as this afternoon, but it's Senate Republicans that could be a roadblock. There's one senator in Nevada who hates the idea of the car czar. He says it invests way too much power in a political appointee. And then you have another senator, a Republican senator from New Hampshire, who wants the car czar to have more power so he or she can dictate terms to the automakers. So it's a little bit of a mess in the Senate. And since Democrats themselves aren't unified, it'll take 13 to 15 Republicans to get this thing passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like we've been hearing a lot about negotiations. Anything new that popped up overnight?
Well, the biggest change from yesterday to today is the White House now backs this deal. And there were a couple things that happened that got the White House behind it. One of them is the car czar is going to have veto power over transactions of $100 million rather than $25 million. The White House felt that the $25 million number was a little bit like micromanaging these companies. One of the other things that's been coming out is this is a lot of stick and not much carrot. The car companies are going to be basically agreeing to a partial nationalization for a four-month lease on life. And then, of course, the loans are just for $15 billion, which is less than half of what they asked for.
Marketplace's Dan Gretsch. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Checking markets this morning. In Europe, they're basically flat. London's down a bit, while France and Germany are up slightly. Asian markets closed up. The Hang Seng shot up 5.5%. The Nikkei added 3%, about 3%. A downer on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow dropped more than 240 points. It's at 86.91. The NASDAQ fell 24. S&P 500 lost 21. If there was any doubt about the reach of the global economic slowdown, there is this. One of the world's largest mining companies, Rio Tinto, has announced a lot of layoffs. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Rio Tinto says it will shed more than 14,000 jobs from its global workforce by the end of next year. Many of the job losses will be in Australia. The company plans to postpone exploration work and sell some of its mines. The aim is to pay off $10 billion of its $40 billion debt. Rio says it's reacting to a global economic slowdown of unprecedented speed and severity. Rio is the world's second largest producer of iron ore, the most important constituent of steel. The sharp drop in demand from the car and construction industries has hit Rio hard. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And the layoffs continue. Employees at Yahoo, as many as 1,500 of them, could be cut loose sooner rather than later. And even the NFL, the National Football League, is sacking 150 jobs at offices in New York, New Jersey, and Los Angeles.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
There's a group of labor and public interest folks who says our country needs almost $1 trillion in the next couple of years to get back on track. That report comes from the Institute for America's Future. It says the money should include tax cuts for middle and low-income workers, infrastructure improvements, investments in green technology, and in efforts to limit overseas energy dependence, plus funding for states and a host of other social programs. Seems like everyone's affected by this economic crisis, even Washington think tanks. You know, the ones that try and find answers to problems? Contributions are down, and some of these groups are having to scale back, and that could have an impact on future policy initiatives, Ronnie Radbill reports.
The fate of Washington's 340 think tanks isn't on most people's minds in a struggling economy, but thinking costs money. As stock values tumble, so do foundation endowments, which help fund many smaller, nonpartisan policy shops. Steve Gunderson, president of the Council on Foundations, says in the last few months, the financial bottom fell out.
We have never had a drop of this magnitude this quickly in a two-month period to literally see a 30 to 50% evaporation of endowment.
Gunderson estimates endowments have lost well over $200 billion in value over the past year. Jamie Court, president of the nonprofit Consumer Watchdog, says that's not good for the general public that wants issues like health care, energy independence, and government reform addressed.
The think tanks that are going to be hurting, unfortunately, are the ones that are more impartial, nonpartisan.
Meanwhile, influential policy shops like the Heritage Foundation, Competitive Enterprise Institute, and Cato are on better financial footing, receiving donations from individuals, foundations, and corporations.
The think tanks that are actually going to do very well in this climate are the ones that are funded by industry. Clearly, big companies have a financial incentive to pour maybe even more money into think tanks that think like big corporations.
With a changing political climate, a worldwide financial crisis, and two wars, there's going to be a lot to think about in Washington. Jim McGann directs the Think Tanks and Civil Society program at the University of Pennsylvania. He fears think tanks won't be able to develop new policy initiatives.
How prepared are they, given the financial constraints, to do the big and small rethink on a whole range of policy issues? And I think given the constraints, the answer to that is unlikely.
What is likely is that a steep recession could push many of the city's think tanks into shutting down. Just as a new administration is hungry for impartial views from some of the brightest minds in the nation's capital. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.